And I thought that Councillor Greenwald made a very good argument that the economy, if that's what you will, or the business climate, will sort of sort these all out. If you started having a bar, you know, every 20 feet, they just wouldn't all survive.
Well, you know, I the free market probably
free market,
will take care of
it.
But on the other hand, I think all of these praises of the free market are inappropriate at this time, because it's the free market that generated the greed, that generated the economic crisis
exactly.
that we're now all facing. So while, yes, the free market has its values, and yes, in this case, it probably is the overbearing effect that everybody will see relative to the number of bars in the community, I just fundamentally, personally, don't think that praising the free market is an appropriate thing when
right.
we're all in such trouble right now
right.
because of the economy.
But I think that if you start, and maybe I'm just looking at it as a slippery slope. If you start saying, well, we only want so many bars and we only want them in this particular location, we don't want them off Main Street, we don't want them,
right.
you know, wherever, then the next thing you know, you're going to say, well, we don't want markets.
And this is what Mitch had said.
Yeah.
And
you know,
he's right.
For instance, there, you know, if you have a bar and you have a market down the way, well, we can't have either of them. And all of a sudden, you know, everything's going to happen on Main Street.
You know, Cynthia, I think this is the quintessential license plate argument. And I say that because our slogan, and if we're not a live free or die state, then maybe an ordinance regulating by 500 feet what you can do with your business is appropriate. But and I realize there are a lot of problems with live free or die. But this was the closest to the closest in 7 years that I've seen the closest argument to that whole issue of, are we a live free or die state?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to property rights, which are sacrosanct, in so far as we can keep them that way. What a person does with their property within reasonable bounds is that person's right. And we mustn't mess with that, you know, in a frivolous way. Not that the ordinance was frivolous, but it opened new doors to property management on the part of the government, and it's very dangerous for that reason.
1-866-357-1290 are our numbers this morning. Our co-host is Nat Stout. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How many dancing places do you have in Keene there?
We don't really have that figure at the top of our tongue.
Yeah.
There are probably a good number of them.
No,
well,
actually,
I think they're almost all private clubs. I mean, and which is not included in this, I don't believe. But most of the dancing places are private clubs.
I see. I just have an idea I'd like to swing by you guys.
Okay.
I think that we should license dancing because, you know, it's dangerous. And, you know, you could break your ankle. I think it would be really good if you would have to take a test and get a license from the government in order to dance. What do you think about that?
I think I couldn't get the license.
You'd be dancing like Elaine from Seinfeld, you know, with the thumbs.
Yeah, right.
But, I just want to say that, you know, more regulation is good because government can solve all problems. It stimulates the economy. And, you know, I think that we need a strong government to tell people what to do. What I mean?
You're being sarcastic, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, just to let you know, I got accepted to the university. Thank you very much.
All
Take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Oh, that's...
regulating dancing.
Right. Well, when you say it, it sounds. I mean, obviously, it was evident that he was not being serious. But I suppose if you take it to the final level and move
the
it
extreme,
up a bit,
sure.
I mean, it can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could use it with a seatbelt law. You could use it with the helmet law. You could use all of this. I mean, those can be dangerous. So we try to get people to do things that will keep them safer. So, you know.
You know, it,
driving.
pride is a dangerous thing. But New Hampshire has always been very standoffish about interference in private lives, and that's what attracts the Free State Project.
Right.
Because New Hampshire and Keene, we have a value system, I think, that's slightly differentiated from other states in our region that, live free or die again. And that's a very, very legitimate place to be. And on the philosophical spectrum, I'd rather we were in that position than in the other. And I say that as a liberal and somebody who really appreciates when government works. I find the Free Staters are just as a rule against government, period. And it's undeniable that government works at times. So being on the philosophically in the right part of that spectrum is a wonderful thing, and that's why many of us live in New Hampshire. Not the only reason, but it's an important reason. I just wonder what would happen if the Free State philosophy manifested itself in another state, let's say, for instance, California or New York, how the reaction would be, because it's so vehement here, where I think we do a pretty good job of differentiating individual rights, and we try hard. It's very high in the value overall zeitgeist, I guess, of the state to preserve individual rights. What would happen in a state where that's less the case? You certainly have a higher ladder to climb.
Right, and I worry that eventually somebody's going to say, well, live free means live at no cost, and nobody wants to pay for anything.
Speaking of being literal, wow.
Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hello, this is Lauren in Winchester. I was down at Railroad Square a couple days ago, and you sort of interviewed a few people for Cheshire TV. I just had one question, that it was, if there's a public trial, shouldn't cameras be allowed in? And everyone I asked answered, of course, yes, of course.
But was everyone the judge?
What's that?
Was everyone the judge? Was the judge there?
No, I didn't. I was just asking people on the street. And, just seemed logical, public trial, the public should be able to listen and talk to, or see it. Also, I was wondering if you had asked Judge Burke about the cameras in the courtroom.
No, I said at the beginning of the show that I had not. The judges are meeting with the city council on Thursday afternoon, and then they're meeting with the public on Thursday evening at Papagallo's. And so if I have an opportunity, I'll ask him then. But I was told that, again, by someone who knows what they're talking about, that judges have the right to determine what goes on in their own courtroom. And, do I have the right to tell him he can't do what he wants in his own courtroom?
I don't think there's there's no simple answer to this. For instance, if you have a sexual assault trial and it's open to the public and videoing, and the victim has to testify, where does that put you? And go back to Judge Ito's decision to make the trial for senior moment here, the Simpson trial, public and put on cameras. That, I think, in hindsight, was a terrible mistake.
Right. So, anyway, any other questions? No, I guess she's gone. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, guys. It's Sam from FreeKing.com. How are you?
Good morning.
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Great. Hey, I wanted to clarify some things for you, Cynthia, so that I think you probably have some misconceptions about the cameras in the courtroom. You are correct. Under your system, judges do have control over the proceedings, not the courtroom itself, but proceedings. And, that's an important distinction because, Dave Ridley, previously here in the Keene Municipal Court, was arrested not for filming proceedings or even filming in the courtroom, but in the lobby of a public building, which is something the judge has no control over. Now, if he did, say there was a, you brought up a sexual assault. Say there's a sexual assault involving an automobile and the jury needed to go outside to the parking lot and film and look at the car or see some kind of evidence that they couldn't bring into the courtroom. Well, then he could control cameras in the parking lot because the proceedings would be outside of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And then also in the district, the municipal court rules that Judge Burke is to follow. He does not have just carte blanche discretion over whether or not courtroom or cameras are allowed in the courtroom. It explicitly says in the rules that cameras are to be allowed, and there are very narrow circumstances under which they may be restricted. And in the case of sexual assault or something like that, it's up to really the defendant or the person who wants to close the proceedings to do that with a motion, and they have to show cause as to why the public should be denied the opportunity to witness the public proceedings.
I think
in court.
You meant the plaintiff, not the defendant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see. Yes, that's correct. Thank you. So, I don't know where else to go with that, but
I believe Judge Burke will be at the meeting that we're having on Thursday with the judges.
And what's the thing afterwards? How do I find out about that? I would like to be there.
Okay. Actually, you have to send your $15 check, because there's refreshments, and you have to send it to Judge Lane. And
Judge Lane.
Howard Lane. And his office is on Washington Street. I don't know the number, but it's just a couple of buildings up. There's a big sign out front says Lane and Bentley, and it's a couple of houses up on the left as you're heading up Washington Street from Mechanic Street.
Okay, so this is some kind of judges meeting that they've opened to the public, or?
Yeah, they're coming in to. I understand it's for the public.
I hadn't heard that, but I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. Well,
I hadn't heard it either way, so I don't know.
I think I heard Dan Mitchell talking about it and saying that he thought that it was, but I don't know for sure. But I know that the council is invited and. I have to pay my $15. Hurry up about it. But anyway.
Okay. So. Yeah, I would definitely like to be there and kind of talk about this, because it's a very important issue. Public access to the courts are just paramount to personal freedoms and liberty.
Well, I wouldn't disagree.
On Monday, you can call maybe Patty Little at City Hall or Judge Lane himself. He's in the phone book, and ask him if it's open to the public. That would probably be the best way.
Okay, great.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. It's Ian from Prekeen.com. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great. Hey, how did you vote on the bar ban, Cynthia?
I voted against it.
Excellent. I thought Nat voted
against it, too.
I just wanted to congratulate you guys for making the right decision on that one. And you mentioned those downtown buildings that, for whatever reason, people aren't opening businesses in and that sort of thing.
Right.
I was thinking one of the big reasons for that might be the fact that property taxes are insanely high in Keene. I mean, if you think about it, if you've got a business that you want to try out and this building that you want to open it in has, I can only imagine how much the taxes are on buildings like that. I mean, I pay $5,000 on my little house. So I'm imagining it's probably at least 10 grand, if not more than that, for a business building like that. That's a lot of overhead for somebody who's just getting into a startup business, and it may be enough to where they just decide it's not worth even trying. If property taxes were drastically lower, or perhaps collected in a voluntary means, then you'd probably see a lot more people taking those sorts of risks and opening up those businesses and doing something with those properties. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in at the moment, though that sure would be nice.
I think you're right. I think that, unfortunately, I think probably one of the things, in addition to the high cost of taxes, is renovating them. I mean, to turn the middle school, for example, into anything else would be prohibitively expensive, unless you were some big housing conglomeration maybe could come in and could make an investment thinking they might get their money back. But I don't know.
I wanted to jump in on is my understanding that Nat made a comment earlier, and if I'd misunderstood, please correct me, but the comment earlier had something to do with the free market being blamed for the economic problems the country is facing at the moment.
Well, yes, I did.
Okay. Unfortunately, there is no free market, and so therefore the free market is not to blame. Whenever you have government, whenever you have a violent monopoly in a marketplace, you don't have a free market, because inevitably, as I pointed out with property taxes, inevitably there are all kinds of regulations and taxes and things like that and controls on people's behavior, and that's by its definition, is not a free market. So that's just not the case. What we have today is a regulated world where people in search of power use that power to reward their friends and punish their enemies, and that's how it works.
You know, I'd like to say just an editorial aside here. I think you folks who stand from the philosophy you stand from have a very very keen interest in political philosophical issues, and I admire that. I really do. I think it gets the discussion going. But I have to say that the use of violent, the words violence and tyranny, and what that does is it puts the argument in a confrontive plane where it's impossible to reply without either sounding like a mamby-pamby or a reactionary. So, but basically it shuts down the debate. And I think
the debate is
worthy, but if I think a measure of respect could allow us to at least actually try to come at some mutual understanding. Otherwise, these pejoratives that you use are very offensive.
Well, Nan, I can see why you feel that way. I mean, when faced with the reality of what government is, which is an agency with a monopoly over coercive force, it seems a little bit distasteful. And it's nothing personal against you or Cynthia. I mean, I've not met you, Nat, but Cynthia, I've had a lot of conversations with. I think she's a fine individual. I just think that the system is what the problem is. And if you want to take offense, I mean, that's certainly your choice.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm a veteran. I've been involved in government now for a number of years. And so if I take it personally to some degree, yes, for those reasons, as for others. But I think we're at a real impasse if the only thing that can be resolved is that government is bad.
Well, government is violent, and violence is bad. So if you guys just stop the violence and stop hurting peaceful people, then I think everything will be fine.
I don't recall being violent yet in my
role. You personally aren't, but there are men with guns who will follow certain orders, and they will do horrible things to completely peaceful people. That's something that's happening.
Okay,
you want to see that or not is again, your choice.
But the connection is this. Cynthia and I work in local government, as we have for a number of years. And we, by the way that you're addressing this issue, are violent because you don't allow for the vast majority of both people and actions of government that are not violent and, in fact, prevent violence.
I see where you're coming from on that, and I'm certain that there are things that, for instance, the Keene police do that actually protect people. There's no doubt about that in my mind. It's the people that are peaceful that are harmed by them that I have a problem with. And so I'm not saying that you guys are out there arresting, let's say, pot smokers or somebody who's 20 for drinking alcohol or whatever we're talking about that doesn't involve a victim that is essentially what you would call a consensual criminal. You guys aren't out there doing that yourselves. But you're also not doing anything to stop it. And so since you're affiliated with an organization that does things like that, you are unfortunately affiliated with violence. And, you know, this is something that I think is worthy of discussion and worthy of change, and I'm glad we were able to talk about it.
Well, I think one of the things that I certainly did to try to stop it was to teach my children to obey the law, not to break the law, and hopefully they're teaching their children the same way. So far, so good.
Yeah, you don't think your kids had a few drinks while they were under 21?
Sure.
So they didn't obey the law then?
Well, sometimes. I mean, I tried to teach them. What I said was I taught them. They knew what was, if they were doing it, they knew what was wrong.
I have just a quick exercise I'd like to ask you to go through. Do you drive a car?
Sure.
Is violence occurring on roads, in cars?
Not sure exactly what you mean by that.
Is a road in a car a potential for violence?
I suppose if you wanted to run someone over with your car or something like that.
Is an accident violent?
I can't see that would be the case, no.
An accident isn't violent? So if you died in a accident, you wouldn't...
It wasn't an aggressive action in that accidents happen accident,
okay,
not on purpose.
I know you know where I'm going with this, and that is if you drive a car and you maintain that violence occurs on roads, then you're violent, which is what you're saying about Cynthia and me being involved in government.
If I wasn't clear, I meant aggression, aggressing against one's neighbors, and driving a car is not an aggressive act unless you are driving, aggressively and, trying to hurt people or something.
Well, I don't think most government decisions are made with a deliberate intention of harm.
I understand that. It's the gun in the room, so to speak, that if you don't go along to get along, or, you know, if you're 20 years old and you want to have a beer or you want to smoke a marijuana cigarette or what, open your business and not have to, you know, bow down to whatever demands the people in government make, then the guns will come out. And I see that, you know, you don't want to see that, and I understand why that would be, but that's the truth. Every time, every government law, no matter how benign, no matter how lofty the original intentions, is always backed up by the threat of force, and that's what needs to change. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I don't know who the gentlemen were at the council last Thursday night, but we had three extra cameras, and whenever one of the counselors spoke, you could see that the lenses focus on that one person, and we know that probably these images are going to end up somewhere. And being public officials, those images will end up probably in a venue where we don't have the opportunity to respond. And that's what we agreed to when we became public officials.
Right.
And that's their right. But I am concerned that some of this exposure, both to public officials and people who work for the city, who by the nature of their work are public, that some of these signals are threatening. And I don't think they're intended to be that way. I hope they're not. But and certainly I don't argue the right of anybody to public access or to use of public. But there's such things as taking words out of context, and just as easily pictures can be taken out of context, and I would never restrict it. It's the First Amendment right that we all cherish and protect, by the way, by means of our government.
Right, right. I think, again, I'm not familiar enough with what the, if we're talking about the Free State, is what their philosophy is, but it appears to me, and maybe this is mistaken, but it appears to me that they want to be peaceful. I mean, I have never met one, for the most part, or never talked to one that wasn't extremely polite, mm-hmm. and, you know, but that they want to be peaceful, but they want to peacefully invoke some insight other people not to be peaceful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's going back to the use of the words that are used.
Right. I mean, they want people to react with aggression against them while they are being not passive aggressive, I guess. 357-1290, 1-866, 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hey there.
You're in a car.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, this is Renee from Scandinavia. I was just flying into the air. I was a little surprised that I was getting on as quick. I just heard Ian from Free Talk Live talking.
Right.
And I think it's a very funny program you have. You have the statist and the free status at this point.
The staters and the free status?
We have everybody.
Yeah, you have everybody.
I'm a stater.
I was actually wondering, you talked about alcohol for college students. Now I'm living in Scandinavia, Denmark and Norway and Sweden. And in Denmark, things are a little bit more relaxed. You can have a drink on the street. You can maybe puff a little joint on the street. No big deal.
Yes.
If you go to the neighboring country, which is Norway. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous. Yeah.
It's okay.
No.
If you go to Norway, it's completely prohibited from the state in the law, and you see a lot more criminality in that sense. You see bad drinking behavior you don't have in Denmark. You see a lot more drugs on the street in Norway than you have in Denmark. Mm-hmm. So how do you explain that? You think laws are good, but why not keep it a little more loose?
You got my vote.
And you got mine as well. I think prohibition proved more than anything that making it illegal and yeah, your point is well taken on this end, for
right,
sure.
Right.
Those laws. We have a prison. The superintendent of our local jail has argued for changing the drug laws in our country for the very reasons I think that you're bringing this up, subject up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And so,
hey, thank you. Well, thank you, Brian.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye now. 357-1290-1866-357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello. Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, not too bad. I just tuned into the show. I slept a little bit late. And
good for you.
I was the reason why I called this morning is I wanted to know what you thought exactly. And I just, like I said, I tuned in late. What you thought about the folks that had showed up for the meeting, the city council meeting, and what do you think about more of them showing up and making themselves known? Is that something that worries you? Is that something that encourages you? And if it does encourage you, I'd like to know why. And if it worries you, I'd like to know why. Because you had said a while back, you said, well, if you don't like the way the government is, then you should show up for these meetings. And now they're showing up for these meetings.
Oh, be careful what you wish for. Anyway, no, first of all, they came to the city council meeting. They spoke at the public hearing, which is what it was for the public to speak. They were very cordial.
Orderly and orderly.
Yes, very orderly. So I have no problem with that. They weren't exactly addressing the subject we were talking about.
That's true.
They got off the subject a little bit. But aside from that, I have no problem. One of them came up and shook my hand afterwards because he's called the show several times.
And I think it's a good thing for them to be there and to, 99% of the time they just have to listen, as
right.
we all do,
right.
pretty much. And that they're showing interest is laudable, and I'd prefer to see it,
right.
more of it.
Right. I mean, certainly I'd prefer that they do that than that they go out and write graffiti on buildings.
Wait a minute. Well, now, let's not say that the Free State Project people are doing that because...
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't mean that at all. I just meant...
I wish you wouldn't have said that.
I'd rather have them come to city council to give their message than to go write their message on a building somewhere,
which they don't do. But I want to make sure that you understand that folks that aren't familiar with the Free State Project and their goals and what they want would listen to the show and they say, oh, they're just a bunch of kids painting up... You know, tagging buildings, and they're not, and none of them have ever been accused of that. In fact, you'd ask about what they believe in. Well, first of all, they believe in people's property rights, so the last thing that anybody that believed in liberty or freedom would do would want to mar someone else's property.
Right.
Okay, now what you asked earlier, you said, well, I don't know what they believe in. Well, here's how it is. We believe in getting rid of force, and also in, getting force out of the equation, that there's not going to be any type of force, and keeping your contracts with people, keeping your agreements with people. Like last week when I called into the show, you had asked what type of solutions. I tried to talk about solutions as far as how to privatize things. The easy thing, because you said something about all these security companies stepping over each other. No, they just have to have an agreement between themselves. Look at cell phones. You got a cell phone, I got a cell phone. We're not all stepping over each other with our cell phone signals. They know how to handle it. The free market has ways of handling this. If the one security company shows up that you're not contracted with, well, the fee gets paid to the other ones.
Well, I think it's probably one of those ideas that works in theory but not in fact. I think it's probably, as I said, I mean, it probably ideally would be great if we could all have our own private police force or each neighborhood have its own private police force, but I think that it doesn't work in fact, and that's one of the problems, I think. But thank you very much for calling.